What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Friday, April 5th. At least we made it to Friday, so that's good. It's been a busy week. A lot of news, a lot of notes, a lot of games, and trust me, when it comes to a lot of games, I will never complain. There's never enough games. March, we had madness. April, we still have a bit of a carryover. And then before you know it, we're just a couple of weeks away from the NBA playoffs beginning and the NHL playoffs. The Panthers will be in it. The Miami Heat, will they be in the true playoffs or only in the play-in? That remains to be seen. Before I get to anything else this hour, I want to give all of you another reminder, a programming note. Sunday afternoon, I am flying to Spain. I am going to Barcelona. I won a poker championship in Medellin last year. It was the Colombian National Championship. And with that championship, I got the opportunity to play in a poker tournament in Barcelona. That is coming up next week. So for the first time in probably 7 or 8 years, I am going to take an entire week off. I will not be doing the show next week, so I'm giving you yet another heads up because Sunday afternoon I'm flying to Barcelona. It'll be the longest flight I've ever been on. Even though I take 100 flights a year, this one will be long, but I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to it. I heard great things about Barcelona. I'm going to play poker. I will not be able to put in any parlays on the Hard Rock Bet app while I'm in Barcelona because Barcelona is not in the state of Florida. So for those of you who constantly send me DMs, hey, what's the next play? What's the next play? Unless I have a friend of mine asking for my advice and they're putting in a play on their own, not me, but they're putting in a play on their own that they allow me to post based on my advice, that is the only way I will be posting any parlays or wagers or anything to that extent next week. Here in Medellin, where I'm doing the show from right now, and that's why I haven't posted a parlay either the past couple of days, because I got here on Wednesday, they do have a sports book in the supermarket, but they don't have same game parlays like Hard Rock Bet. I like baseball ones, I like hockey ones, but here's the good news. I land in Miami tomorrow early evening. Right when I land in Miami, when the wheels are on the ground, I will be ready, most likely. I don't plan that much in advance, but chances are I will probably put something in tomorrow early evening, as soon as the wheels are down. When I'm on the ground at MIA, that's when I could put something in. Until then, you guys just have to wait. It's not that much longer of a wait. Some of you are just like fiending for some action, and I get it. But if you wager every single day and you're just wagering a wager, you're not going to do well. Maybe you'll go on a run or something, but you're not going to do well overall. You have to limit your wagers and wager on something that is, I want to say very good, but like has really good odds. There's value. There's a good chance of it hitting. Not just, hey, there's a game coming on at 7 o'clock. Who do we like? I got to take a side. You're never going to win like that. You got to be extremely lucky in the long run. So I'll have something for you guys tomorrow early evening. My flight to Spain doesn't leave until Sunday late afternoon. So there's also a possibility that I could have something for you on Sunday early afternoon or late morning as well. Now, if you want to come along with me to Spain, I don't know how many seats are left on the plane, but if you follow me on social media, on my Twitter feed at Andy Slater, on my IG, just search Andy Slater, I will do my best to take you along for the ride to Barcelona. And then the following week, I'll be off Monday and Tuesday recovering a little bit. And then I'll be back with you the following Wednesday. But you can always hit me up. Hit me up on IG. Hit me up on Twitter. They want to call it X. I'm still just going to call it Twitter until, I don't know. I'll just call it Twitter forever until it doesn't exist anymore. But I'm looking forward to a nice vacation. I don't like not talking to all of you because you're here. You want to hear my voice. Thank you very much. You want to hear my opinions, what I'm saying. You want to hear some sound effects. You want to hear stories. So that part I'll miss for a week. But again, social media, like we can always be in contact. Maybe I'll post some videos and stuff. The time difference from South Florida, I believe, is 6 hours. So that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. Now, in South Florida, we do have an eventful week. The Miami Heat, unfortunately, lost last night. They are limping towards the playoffs right now. That was a tough one to drop. The Panthers, though, they won, finally. They really needed that. And then we've got the
Miami Marlins.
Oof. They got a day off today, and you talk about needing something, they need a day off. They probably need a month off, maybe a year off. The Marlins right now are 0-8. Okay, they have played 8 baseball games to start the season. Out of those 8 baseball games that they have played, how many have they lost?
Not 2, not 3, not 4. Not 5, not 6, not 7.
8. Yuri Perez, he's undergoing Tommy John surgery. We found out about that yesterday. I spoke a bit about it. So he's done for the season. What else could possibly go wrong for the Miami Marlins? Burger King makes this deal, and they haven't had to give out one free Whopper Jr. to anybody in South Florida yet. And remember, the promotion is only for home games. They had 7 chances. Miami had 7 chances to give all of you a free Whopper Jr. How many Whopper Juniors did you eat for free over that 7-game period?
Zilch.
Nothing.
Nada.
Small potatoes.
No potatoes.
Diddly squat.
A big old goose egg.
None. Really incredible. You had to figure you'd at least get 2 free Whopper Juniors. Maybe Burger King will extend that promotion for scoring like 2 runs or something. I really don't know. They got to do something about it. I would say extend it to any game, not just a home game, but that wouldn't even matter. You still wouldn't have a free one. And if you saw on my Twitter feed yesterday, I did reach out to Burger King. And Burger King said that, or this was the day before, it's all running together because all the Marlins do is lose. Burger King said that they're not going to adjust the promotion as of now. They have no current plans to make any adjustment. I'll get into the Marlins. I want to get into the Heat. We've also got coming up, before you know it, the NFL draft. And when I get back from Barcelona, I think I'll be talking a lot about the Miami Dolphins and what they will be doing in the first round. The Miami Dolphins, they got plenty of needs. So when I'm back from Barcelona and I'm with you, not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, I'll dive a lot more into what the Miami Dolphins need, what they may do, and the upcoming NFL draft. By the time I'm back from Spain, we're going to have so much to discuss. The Miami Heat, they'll be right there, the end of the season. The Florida Panthers, it'll be the end of their season. I'm trying to map out some travel plans, just normal travel, my regular travel, for late April, the middle of May. And normally, I would just book my travel, no problem. But after last year, because I want to go to all these games. I want to go to the home games. I want to go to the road games. And after last year with the Heat and Panthers and going all over the place, I said, maybe I shouldn't book so much travel right now and just see what happens. Not that you can't get credit for it, because American Airlines is really good with that. It's just like, let me slow down a little bit and let me wait to see what the Heat do and what the Florida Panthers do. And if the Panthers did not win like they did last night, I'd probably be sitting here today thinking they're going to be a first round and done team, which is crazy to even think about considering how their season had been going up until the past like 10 or 11 games. But I got a little bit more confidence after last night. They really, really needed that W. All right, so I got a lot of notes in front of me. I got a lot of things to say, and I'm sure there's a lot of things you guys want to hear. When I was eating breakfast this morning, I was debating, do I start with the Heat? Do I start with the Panthers? That really wasn't too much of a debate because I'm not going to do that. Or do I start with the 0-8 Miami Marlins? Because yesterday I started with the Marlins. But now they're 0-8. Yesterday when I started with them, they were 0-7. So you guys are about to find out my decision. I had a couple of cups of coffee this morning, and I got the Monster Energy drink. I'm ready to go. I hope you guys are too. But I can't say anything else until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Yesterday, I touched on the Yuri Perez news. And I want to begin there again today, not just with Yuri, but with this Miami Marlins team and really organization. The Marlins right now, they're a catastrophe. Think about this. Sandy Alcantara just had Tommy John surgery. Sandy is the best pitcher in the entire organization. Max Meyer, he just came back. He came back from what? If you said Tommy John surgery, that would be correct. A huge prospect. He had Tommy John. Sandy just had Tommy John. Yuri Perez, he had Tommy John. Just those three right there. Yuri, Max Meyer, Sandy Alcantara. You're talking about big arms for this Marlins organization. Is it not perfectly fair to ask why so many Marlins big arms are having this surgery? Now, sure, in general, more pitchers across baseball are having Tommy John surgery. But when you look at the Marlins organization, is this not a trend? Your top two guys are having TJ. And Max Meyer, who essentially is their top or maybe second top prospect, because Yuri's number one, I would think, he has it as well. That's a big deal. For Yuri Perez, and just so you know, I'm not saying Perez wrong. That's how you pronounce his last name. It's not Perez. It's Perez. I don't want anyone out there to think I'm an idiot. Like, what is Andy saying? It's Perez. No, it's Perez. I was thinking with him, I know the season feels lost, but at some point, because he's been throwing, like at some point he's going to work his way back. Maybe we get another glimpse into the future. That was something to feel good about. Maybe next month he'd be able to get on that mound and start a baseball game. Now you're talking about going into spring training next season, and the hope is, I mean, Sandy should definitely be ready by next spring training. Yuri, that remains to be seen. It's a long road back from Tommy John surgery. Yeah, it's way more common than it was 10 years ago. The doctors, they're able to do different things nowadays. The recoveries are better. Tommy John surgery, you hear about that 15 years ago, it's like, oh my gosh, the career – the career of that pitcher's over. He'll never be the same again. That's not the case nowadays. Still, though, the idea that the Marlins organization had a brilliant 1-2 punch to put at the top of that starting rotation, and now both guys are out long-term with the same surgery, how can it get any worse? There's no sugarcoating to this whatsoever. The Marlins today have their first day off, which they definitely need. I hope they enjoy the day off in St. Louis. I hope not only do they go see incredible views during the day, but they go see incredible views at night. Girls. I hope they have such a great time. Anything that is in their body, anything that's on their mind, in their head, just let it out. This is a team that lost the entire homestand. 7 games to start the season at home. They lost every single one. Then they go to St. Louis. It was the Cardinals opening day. The Clydesdales are there. The whole opening day experience in St. Louis, amazing. They come out and they have a lead. Things are looking good. The Marlins are going to get it done. And then...
you blew it!
They lose. They have not won a game the entire season. Sure, the season just started, but they're 0-8. It's simply remarkable how bad the Marlins are. And I've detailed many of the reasons why they're struggling so much, why they find themselves in the hole that they're in right now. But the reality is, 8 straight losses at any point in your season, it's a problem. Anytime. It could be in June, July, August. You lose 8 straight. That is a problem. And to have that to begin the season, it's a devastating hole to dig themselves in. They're now 4.5 games out of first place, and the season is barely a week old. It's unthinkably bad. The Marlins have fewer wins than the Oakland A's, a team that's relocating to Sacramento for 3 years. The A's are intentionally bad, and they've managed to win. The Marlins, 0-8. And I think it's very clear at this point, no reinforcements are on the way. That's not what this organization is looking for right now. They're not thinking, what can we do to start winning? They're not. You think they're going to go out there and they're going to buy? No way. They didn't do it the entire offseason. They're not in buying mode. You think they're going to supplement this roster? No. Instead, they're far more likely to dump guys. It might sound weird for me to say this team might actually get worse. It's hard for me to say that right now because they're 0-8. I mean, how could they be worse? They haven't won a game. What would be worse than not winning a game? I mean, if you don't win a game and you haven't won a game all year, how could it get worse? But eventually, you know the Marlins will get some W's. It just happens. And also eventually the Marlins will start trading away players. And then it will be worse. It'll be back to where it is right now. The guys in that clubhouse, I'm sure a lot of them like each other. I know Jazz had that interview and he was going off on some of his former teammates. And who knows if he's still hated in there by some or not. But if they all like playing together and the clubhouse is a good place, they're going to have to be the ones to save themselves here, to salvage their season. I know it's early, but they really can't let this get much more out of hand. They got 2 more in St. Louis. Then they're going to Yankee Stadium. I mean, do you really want to start your season 0-13? Because it's a possibility. Even if this Marlins team at some point for, I don't even know how they would, but at some point they did go on a hot streak, which it's kind of hard to even think how they would do that. If they went on some type of hot streak and maybe in the end they were 4 or 5 games back of the wild card, they're always going to look to the beginning of this season. They started 0-8. As a fan, if you think, okay, we got time, you're going to look back. And it hasn't stopped yet. 0-8 can turn into 0-9 tomorrow, and then 0-10 on Sunday. And then, like I said, they're going to Yankee Stadium to face the New York Yankees, who are much improved. We really can't be that surprised, though. They didn't do anything in the offseason. The Yankees did, of course. The Marlins, they didn't. No Sandy, no Jorge Soler. You get rid of John Birdie the day before opening day. Now you've lost Yuri Perez. But they got Tim Anderson. It's just, it's so sad. And we haven't even dealt with any lineup injuries. Jake Berger has been playing well. Can Jazz last the whole year? Will any of these guys be dealt? Jazz, Josh Bell, Luis Arraez? What's going to happen when their depth is tested in that lineup? Skip Schumacher, he's lucky this is happening in his second year. He already proved he can manage. He won Manager of the Year. He had success last season. If this was his first season, imagine that. If the Marlins turned in a performance like this and he was a brand new manager, I would say he could be on the hot seat immediately. But given the current circumstances and his track record from last year, Skip, to me, he's not in danger at all. No danger. 0-8 is hard to do to start a season, but Skip's not in any danger. This isn't his fault. You want to talk about someone being in danger right off the bat. If anybody, it would be Peter Bendix, but maybe this is what they got him for. Hey, let's be good in 4 years from now, and let's be terrible for the next 3 or 4 if we have to. And then let's just hope it all works out, and we can be what the Rays were or are. We could be what the Orioles were and currently are. And if we knew that was like a sure thing, if that was coming, okay, we could sit through this, but we don't know that, and we've been through this so many times, except for an 0-8 start. That has never been done before by a team that made the postseason the previous year. Something else that has never been done before, what's going on right now in the ballroom at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, the Poker Showdown. They've got a $1 million guaranteed tournament going on now. Then they're going to have a $2 million guaranteed tournament going on. And then they're going to have a $3 million guaranteed tournament. The World Poker Tour main event will have at least $3 million in the prize pool. It will most likely be much higher than that. So many different poker tournaments going on right now. So many tables. They had to move everything to the ballroom. So normally the tournaments are in the poker room. This Poker Showdown, it's in the ballroom, and there's so much action. It's a lot of fun. I will be there when I get back from Barcelona playing poker. I will be playing in the Poker Showdown at the Hard Rock. For the entire tournament schedule, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You don't want to miss it. If you're into playing poker, you want to be there. It is the Poker Showdown going on right now at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Gosh, did the Miami Heat blow an opportunity last night. That's a big L to Philly. The Heat finally got the help they needed. They had taken that leap from the play-in spot to the playoff spot, and you've got Philly in town, and you can't get the job done in the end? Philly's right on their heels for 7. Joel Embiid is healthy. That combo of Maxey and Embiid, that's one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't care what the standings show. And at the end of that game, that's right where the Miami Heat blew it. So crazy. I play that for the Marlins. Now I play it for the Heat. Who's next? But they had way too many empty trips. It's simply offensive execution. Get good shots, get good buckets. That game was there for the Heat to take. But at crunch time, too many empty trips. The Sixers, they didn't have empty trips. They had answers. And the last sequence, down two, Jimmy always goes for the victory three. That's just how Jimmy rolls. And he's not a great three-point shooter, but that's his mentality. Remember the Boston Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago? I was there at that game. Jimmy always takes that shot, and he lives with the result. And Spo's philosophy down the stretch is he doesn't like taking a timeout there because he feels that gives the defense an advantage. And I understand. You don't want the D to catch their breath and get set. You'd rather just go down there. You try to run a play. The offense, you let them create. The defense, they're on their heels. But in this case, Miami's whole trip down looked kind of clunky. And once it looked bad, Spo could have taken a timeout there and allowed his guys to regroup. They're down two. I don't love the Jimmy Butler three as the shot. I understand the mentality is, okay, it's Jimmy. He's going to win it. I know why he takes it. He's a competitor. He wants to bury his opponent. But I'm sure if Spo could do it all over again, he would have seen how things went going down the court, and he would have created a better shot than what Jimmy took. But that's that. The game is over. The Heat lose, and now the Heat are on the road. The most important trip of the season. They got Houston tonight, second night of a back-to-back. Tough challenge. And then the game on Sunday against the Pacers. That is the most important game of the season. The Miami Heat are trying to leapfrog Indiana. The Heat are trying to stay away from that play-in game. They cannot afford to lose on Sunday. Here's what Miami could be facing if Philly catches them. So if Philly is 7 and Miami is 8, that means the Heat got to go to Philadelphia for a one-game play-in. And if Miami loses that game, they fall to the loser's bracket of the play-in round. And then they play the winner of the 9-10 matchup. And on top of that, if the Heat were in that game, the prize for winning that game would be the 8 seed and the Celtics in the first round. That's not good. With the remaining games the Heat have on their schedule, their margin for error is 0. The most important game is Indiana, but the Heat cannot continue to give up ground. Not with Joel Embiid back for Philly. And they look really good. And they look good at the right time. Now, Tyler Hero, he was on the plane. So he's on this road trip. How Spo uses Tyler, is he going to start him? Like, do you just say, okay, you're a starter, you're healthy, let's ride? The Heat have functioned well with Scary Terry and Duncan Robinson, but undoubtedly they could use some offensive firepower. That's not debatable. How can the Heat integrate Tyler into what they're doing with so little games left? It'll be a little tricky, but it's way better to get Tyler Hero back now with at least a few regular season games to go where you can figure it out, then get him back come play-in time, if there is play-in time, and then he gets his first action then. That could be a problem. The one guy in the Miami Heat who continues to catch my eye, that would be Haywood Highsmith. That dude's just making winning plays, and he plays so hard on defense. He draws really tough assignments and handles them so well. His three-pointers he's been hitting, he's running the baseline well to attack the basket. He's been a surprise, at least the past month or so. A good surprise. When the playoffs begin, Haywood Highsmith is going to be very high on that trust tree of Eric Spoelstra's. I think Haywood Highsmith is going to end up seeing big minutes. And you can wind up seeing big results if you head on out to Gulfstream Park. The Royal Palm Meet is going on right now at Gulfstream Park. They got live racing today on a Friday during the Royal Palm Meet. Gulfstream Park's got live racing Thursday through Sunday. So 4 days a week, you can head on out and watch races live at Gulfstream Park. I was just there a few days ago, Saturday, for the Florida Derby. Had a fantastic time. I highly suggest when you go to Gulfstream Park, if you want to hang out outside, do it in the Carousel Club. If you want to hang out in the AC inside, the trackside restaurant at Gulfstream Park, 10 Palms, it's phenomenal. You get a table, you have a great meal, you watch the races live right in front of you, and of course, you could wager on them. You don't even have to wager a whole lot. You could bet 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all the time. Any day is a good day to go to Gulfstream Park, but you should really go on a live race day. And that is Thursday through Sunday right now. It is the Royal Palm Meet going on at Gulfstream Park. One more thing I want to say before I bring on Clay Ferrero. Jimmy Butler takes that three at the end of the game. He doesn't hit it. We've seen what Jimmy has done over the past month or so, and he's missed some games. My question is, when is playoff Jimmy coming? Could playoff Jimmy show up maybe a little early where they can win this game tonight in Houston and they've got to win that game in Indy? Because if the Heat can get playoff Jimmy a little before the playoffs, just think about how much that could benefit the Heat and where they'll be in the standings. I know where Stewie is in the standings when it comes to needing a mortgage or refinancing. You will pay Stewie nothing because Stewie has got the bagel loan. And when you look at a bagel, at least when I see a bagel, I see a zero in the middle of that bagel. That is why it's the bagel loan. You will pay Stewie nothing, zero. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or if you're refinancing, you want to get a hold of Stewie and you want the bagel loan. Here is Stewie's personal cell phone number. Call him. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. Call Stewie. That's his personal cell phone. Tell him you're interested in the bagel loan. MLS number 226715. Here on this Friday, Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 with us on the Andy Slater Show. Clay, I know you have three daughters and you have a wife. I just wanted to bring you on first to make sure they're okay. They've been able to eat and they haven't been waiting for a free Whopper Jr.
Oh, man. So the other problem is that we've been waiting for 50% off Papa John's, too. And we haven't gotten that because, you know, the Heat lost to the 76ers last night, Inter Miami. I guess Lionel Messi's never going to play again, apparently. No, so, like, maybe at some point we'll get the Papa John's back, too. But, yeah, between that and the Marlins not giving us free Whoppers, we're struggling over here.
Well, can't you go to a place that not like anybody knows about and get buy one, get one free chicken tenders today or something? Because the Panthers won?
Yeah, but I mean, we have to actually like want to go to the place to begin with. And so I don't even know. Wait, what's it even called? Huey Magoo's?
Huey Magoo's, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Supposedly, they don't even have one in Miami-Dade from what I understand. So Panthers fans in Miami-Dade are like, well, what are we supposed to do? They're waiting for Whopper Juniors. Clay, I mean, when do you think somebody in South Florida is going to be able to eat a free Whopper Junior?
Man, this is sad, isn't it? It really, look, it's baseball. They're going to win some game at some point this weekend. You know, I think they'll finally get off the schneid. And yet, man, I think everything that we were concerned about with this Marlins team heading into the season is like somehow manifested itself in an even worse way in the first eight games. And, you know, you add in the Yuri Perez news and it just feels like a nightmare that's only just beginning.
What makes you think they're going to win this weekend? In all seriousness, I mean,
because it's baseball. It's baseball. I mean, I just think, you know,
it's the Marlins. They're
understood. Understood. I just think, you know, you play 162 games. The bullpen guys that you're using and stuff like that. There's just it's just harder than not to go through and not win a single game over the first 2 weeks of the season. But, oh, I mean, look, very easily could also lose all the games this weekend. I just think at some point they're going to win. But then at that point, they'll be what? 1-8, 1-9, 1-10, whatever it is. And you're still left with a team that, you know, has so many questions that we were already asking before the season and haven't gotten any answers to, at least not any positive answers to, over the first couple of weeks of the season.
So, Clay, let's talk about the team that lost last night, not yesterday afternoon, that being the Miami Heat. They denied you and your family and many families around South Florida from getting 50% off Papa John's. Now people are like looking all over the internet for some type of promo code. For you, though, Clay, where exactly, and be very specific, please, where do the Miami Heat need to finish in order to go far?
Eighth. You know, it's.
But hold on a minute, because if they finish in eighth, you're playing the Celtics. So
I understand, but they finished in eighth last year and they played the Celtics and beat them. The best way to put this is there is possible and there is likely. So when you say where they need to finish, I'm thinking where do they need to finish in order to make it possible? And I think with this team, you can't say anything is impossible because they just treat the playoffs differently. Now, if you're asking me where I think they need to finish to make this thing likely, yes, again, I want to see them in that sixth spot. But again, I'm not going to immediately dismiss it. To me, the bigger problem is the way they lost the game last night was just horrendous. These are the games in the fourth quarter when you're leading what by six or eight, and it's closing time. It was and what I also didn't like was that Eric Spoelstra made some mistakes in that fourth quarter. Sticking with Kevin Love too long and not bringing Bam back in the game. I understand Kevin Love was playing well, but you know, you have a rotation set where Bam Adebayo does so many things for you late in games defensively, and you wait so long that when you don't bring him or Terry Rozier back with, you know, the typical amount of time, they get cold and the offense falls flat. And so I just thought there were a lot of things about last night's game that were bad. So to me, it's not so much that, oh, they lost a game to the 76ers where they are in the same, blah, blah, blah. It's how they lost that game that I thought was a major issue.
Now, when you say the sixth spot, are you saying that because of matchups, or are you saying that, Clay, because you want them to totally avoid the play-in?
A little bit of both. I just think that, you know, again, we're talking about possible versus likely. Mm-hmm. And just simple mathematics, like having to win a play-in game out of two just in order to get into the playoffs themselves, just mathematically, it puts you in a rougher spot. But then when you start looking at the matchups, no, I wouldn't want to play Boston in the first round if I don't have to. I'd probably rather avoid Milwaukee, and especially now with the news about Julius Randle and potentially OG Anunoby either being out or having to play through significant injury in the first round of the playoffs. And I'm not afraid matchup-wise of either the Knicks or the Cavaliers at this point. So, yeah, it's a combination of both of those things. And that's why, again, I go back to last night. It was just such a bad loss in so many ways. And it really puts the Heat in a rough position where, realistically, the Philadelphia 76ers could easily run the table. Their remaining schedule is cake. And they're going to be favored in every single game. And so the Heat kind of – their margin for error is gone. They can afford to lose one more game, and it can't be to the Indiana Pacers on Sunday. They have to win that game, and then – you know, maybe they lose to Houston tonight, but then they'd have to beat Dallas next week, and they'd have to sweep the Raptors and the Magic. Like, you just put yourself in a rough position.
Yeah, I mean, from the way you just described it, I just got very down on the Miami Heat. going through their schedule.
Yeah, last night was bad. That's why last night was so bad.
Okay, but let me stop you for a moment, because you've said that three or four times, and not that there's anything wrong with saying that three or four times. But one thing you haven't mentioned, unless I didn't hear it, Jimmy taking that shot. You mentioned Spo. He made some mistakes. Not that it matters if you're okay with it or not, but you're here and I want your opinion. Are you okay when you saw Jimmy take that shot? Were you okay with it?
No. No. And I mean, I tweeted it immediately. I said, death taxes and Jimmy Butler settling for a bad three-pointer in crunch time. How many times do we have to see this? And what I think is unfortunate is the times when we've seen him attack the basket, or, you know, you go back to last year against Milwaukee in the alley-oop, like when you see him go towards the basket in crunch time, good things happen. I don't understand. Jimmy Butler is not a three-point jump shooter. He is a three-point set shooter, and we've seen it over and over again. When he has his feet set and he just goes straight up and shoots as opposed to taking a jump shot as a three-pointer, it looks nice. But these three-point jump shots don't fall. And I don't understand why there's a constant – and I know he made one, and he says, I'll make the next one. Okay, there are certain three-pointers with Jimmy Butler that when he releases them, you just feel like there's no chance of them going in. And last night, the second he rose for that three-point shot, I started shaking my head. And I even looked to the side and then had to turn back to make sure that it didn't go in. It's just that those are the types of shots that he settles for late in games that just make you shake your head. And look, you take the good with the bad, but think, no, that was bad.
Do you think the Heat are okay with that shot? I mean, it's their best player taking a big shot.
I think Spo is okay with letting Jimmy make the choice. And I don't think he's going to pull him aside and tell him, don't do that anymore. I personally am not. And that's just me watching him and saying, but again, I'm not going to pretend to know more than Spo. But I also think it's fair to criticize when, especially in the moment, you can see something happening. And it was with both Jimmy and Spo last night. With Spo, it's like, where's Bam? Why is Bam out? Not where's Rozier? Where is the guy who's carried you this? Where is he? And then with Jimmy, when he rose up for that shot, saying, well, why? Why are we doing this? Well, like, there's a difference between first guessing and second guessing to me. And those were both Spo and Jimmy, at least for me, watching the game last night, there was a lot of first guessing going on.
Clay, last question. Do you think playoff Jimmy is going to show up come playoff time?
Maybe. You know, again, it's possible versus likely. I'm a little concerned about a couple of things, and I think the one that is most concerning to me right now is Jimmy. It feels like the officiating stuff where they've kind of taken out the looking for contact and going out. Jimmy's game has always been, you seek out contact and then you try to make the shot, but if not, at least you get fouled. And I think the NBA, like, they're saying that they're trying to go away from players who go out of natural shooting motions to find contact. Well, Jimmy's natural shooting motion is to seek contact and then try to score. So I think it's hurt him doubly. And so I think that's the one thing that I'm a little concerned about, in addition to, just the general, hey, is age eventually going to catch up to him? But, we could be sitting here in 2 weeks and feel silly all over again that we're questioning him.
Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10. You could follow him at Clay WPLG the next time Jimmy Butler takes a three at the end of the game to see what Clay says. Clay, thanks again for the time. Have a great weekend. And when the Marlins are back at home, I hope Burger King can feed your family.
We're hungry over here.
Take care, buddy.
Later.
He and many families across South Florida. All right, I'm headed to Spain on Sunday. I'm off all of next week, so keep up to date with everything. Just follow me on social media. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.